Today we're looking at Love is More, and we're picking up on part 10. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woohoo! Anybody excited about Love is More? Anybody excited about what they're learning as it relates to love? New definitions of love are happening, amen. And as you guys are obtaining these new definitions of what love is versus what it's not, I have to admit that I have found that your lives have been challenged and tested by this new definition of love. Somebody say amen. Our primary text for this entire series, and today marks the conclusion of this series. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah. This is the end. Part 10. I opened up on part 1 and said there are 10 parts. Amen. This is part 10. I know y'all tried to throw out last week. No, part 15 and 16. No. Good thing I don't listen to y'all. Amen. We're ending it on part 10. Amen. I'm running out of things to say about love. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm really not. Amen. Maybe we'll pick it up later in the year, but I believe that what God has to do for us today will be accomplished. And I can't find a better day and a better topic than to end on Love is More with talking about mothers. Somebody say amen. 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 I'm not going to leave you hanging from last week. I know y'all were like, but Pastor, don't you dare go right talking to mothers and you didn't finish Joseph. We're going to get there. Amen. We're going to get there. 1 John 3:16 is our text for this entire theme. And it's, this is how we know what love is. Do you guys have this memorized by now? That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down what? Our lives for our what? Brothers and sisters. Amen. If you don't have it memorized, it's okay because it's right there on the screen. Amen. Last week, we looked at a couple of things for several weeks. So far, we have studied that love is transcendent. It is transferable. It anticipates needs. It restores. It is true. It liberates. It identifies. And it empowers. Amen. 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 On last week and the week prior, we looked at love. Let's what? Let's it go. Amen. Make sure you separate those words. Love, let's it go. Don't run them together because it won't sound good on the podcast. Love, let's it go. Amen. Because you can't say let's it go. It's just it's that S combines with that IT over there and it does something funny. Love lets it go. Hey, that was a joke. This is my best material, guys. I'm giving it to you already. You better join me. Amen. Nobody else thought that was funny with the let's. You know what? Forget y'all. So last week and the week prior, we looked at how 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 5 in the NIV version reads, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And the last portion of that says, it keeps no record of what? Of wrongdoing or wrongs. Now, this is huge because this is where the let it go comes into play. That love, by definition, according to Scripture, does not keep a record of wrongs. Now, this is where we found all kinds of problems because we like to think that we forgive people. Amen? Because we can say this, I can forgive you, but I'll never forget you. I won't forget it. I won't forget it. And we think that by not forgetting this, that this then stops us or gives us some type of defense against that thing happening again. And on last week, we discussed that that's not true. Amen. That just because you decide not to forget about it does not mean that you're going to now have a defense for that thing not happening again. I'm preaching already, amen, because we like to tell ourselves, you know what, I'm going to always remember this pain. I'm going to remember how bad it hurt. I'm going to remember everything about the situation so I won't be so silly as to let it happen again. But you know what, pain already marks that for you. Do you understand that? You don't have to remember every detail. The time you got hurt the last time is sufficient to say, you know what, maybe I should slow down, because that's how kids learn, do they not? I said no, you did it anyway, I'm going to spank your tail, and I tell you what, you ain't gonna forget it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So on last week, we discussed the idea of letting it go. And we began with Joseph. Amen. Joseph was the king of letting stuff go. And if anybody, as we looked at on last week, if anybody had the right to hold something on the inside, I think it was Joseph. Do you guys agree? I mean, the man was sold into slavery by his own brothers. I think that's a good enough reason to harbor some resentment, don't you? As a matter of fact, you know what? I ain't gonna love nobody no more, because the last people that God put in my life that's supposed to show me love actually sold me to the enemy. I'm preaching already. Because this is the kind of justification that we have, that we say that the closest you are to me justifies my lack of letting it go. That's how we think. Like, if you're this close to me and you hurt me, then this justifies all the more reason why I should not let it go. And so Joseph, he had a reason to hold some things. You understand what I'm saying, you know. I'm going to hold on to some feelings. I spoke to a 45-year-old woman who was still holding on to some things since she was a child. You're like, what? Don't act surprised. We might be in the same boat. Let's see what the text says. Amen. Like, what? Oh, wait a minute. That was for me. Amen. But you never know to the extent that you're holding on to something until that something is presented in your face. That was the case with Joseph on last week, wasn't it? He kept saying over and over and over again, forget them. Forget all of them. Didn't he name his child, little boy, forget them? Did he not? He did. He named his child after the idea of forget all of them. Forget that whole chapter in my life. I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want nothing to do with that hurt. Forget all of them. And then sure enough, they knock on the door and all of that word of hope, hurt just opened back. And every time you look at Joseph, he, excuse me. Every time he's a grown man running to hide his tears, every single time it comes up. And so this is where our story happens. All of a sudden, Joseph was sold into slavery, then became a prisoner. He was sold at the age of 17. By the time our story picks up, he is a grown man of some 60-something years. You understand what I'm saying? This means his whole life was affected by one act of his family. Oh, you ain't never been there, huh? You mean to tell me you ain't looked back and said, my mama did this. She set me up for adoption. My dad did this. My brothers did this. I've always been the black sheep. Come on. I've always been the black sheep of the family. I'm the middle child. I've always been ignored. You've labeled yourself from something that happened to you years ago, and you haven't even let your own label go. So let's not look at Joseph as if he's unique in the situation, because he's not that unique. Somebody say amen. Oh, say amen in this house. Okay, I'm gonna hold it. I'm gonna hold it. It's okay, because y'all kind of like, well, Pastor, I don't want to get with you just yet because I'm afraid you might come for me. Well, I am. I'm already coming for you. So go ahead and curl them toes up and get ready, because we're getting into this. Amen. What use does it do for us if we talk about how much we love people but then don't know how to actually do it? The reason why we've been on three weeks on let it go is for the very reason that letting it go is the very issue that stops us from showing the love to the people we're really supposed to show it to. So I'm sorry, this is not the message that says how you can get your car, how you can get your house, name it, claim it. But this is the message that will cause you to follow the one commandment God has ever given you, and that's to love your God and love your neighbor. You only got one commandment to follow, just one. And we struggle doing this. And the reason we struggle is because we don't know how to let stuff go. But we're going to learn it today. Somebody say amen. You're going to learn it today. That way love can flow freely from you. Do you know how many marriages I counsel that are falling apart because they don't know how to let something go? And you both said, go, I love you. I love you too. But I will never forget what you did. Why not? Because if you don't forget it, then you can't love freely. And if you say you want to love freely, then let it go. If not, let the marriage go. Oh. To the singles in the house, single lesson 157, amen. When you get married and you say it gets hard and tough and you want to leave him or her, somebody say amen. Then you better make sure that you are not willing to let something go, amen. Because sometimes it's just as simple as letting it go. It's just as simple as letting it go. And when God realizes that you know that you have received his love, then this means if somebody hurts you, then they're not going to take everything from you. See, that's the problem, that we don't know the real definition of love. So that means when our husbands and our children and those that are so close to us actually hurt us, we don't know how to let it go, because our whole livelihood and our whole identity is based off of what that person displays to us. But when I realize I'm identified by God and his love for me, then now if you hurt me, I don't lose that much. I'm just temporarily uncomfortable. But who I am, where I'm going, and my purpose does not change because of your action. Doesn't change, amen? You could sleep with somebody else. Come on, somebody. Love on somebody else. Get high every day. Get drunk. Take all my money. God will still be my provider. Come on now. He'll still be my healer. He'll still be my deliverer. Oh, come on. He'll still be my friend. He'll still be the lover of my soul. He'll still be the one that I can talk to in the midst. He'll still be everything I need, whether you're there or not. And when both of us have this idea, both husband and wife, then all of a sudden we liberate each other to be who God calls us to be, rather who you need them to be. Isn't that what we do to each other? I need you to be this in my life. I need you to be that in my life. You need to be the type of man that you need to be the type of woman. Okay, let me just stop meddling. Get back to the message, amen? But when the love of God hits and fills that place, now you're not dependent upon somebody else being all that you need. All that you need is already satisfied in God. They are the bonus. They're the bonus, amen. It's like, what? Icing on the cake, amen. But I'm going to still eat the cake without the icing, amen. Come on, somebody, tell them, you're the icing on my cake, amen. Singles, tell it to your future husband or wife, amen. In the spirit, amen. In the spirit, amen. So Joseph had a situation where throughout all of this enslavement and imprisonment, God still blessed him and made him prosperous. You guys remember that? And then when his actual brother showed up, and his brother showed up because there was a famine in their land and they needed food, Joseph remembered them. And you can tell when somebody doesn't forget something. Do you know how you can tell? You can tell when you really ain't let it all go. You can tell when you really ain't kind of been healed in that area, because first there's unforgiveness, and Joseph had a tons of unforgiveness. I know it seemed like he forgot him because he named his baby Forget All Them. No, but he hadn't forgiven. You understand what I'm saying? Because as soon as he saw him, you guys remember, he was like, lies and what? Spies. Lies and spies. Lies and spies. That's all y'all are, is lies and spies. There was some unforgiveness there, amen. He had some bitterness. You guys remember this? He had bitterness because he decided to keep Simeon, his other brother. You know what? You're going to put me in prison. I'm going to take one of your brothers and put one of your brothers in prison. That's what he did. Read the text. This was last week. And then he still dealt with anger, because you know the first thing he said is, all y'all gonna go to jail. Give you a taste of your own medicine. You put me in jail, I'm gonna put y'all in jail. How you like me now? Ha 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 ha. And he realized he hadn't quite let go of some things, although he liked to tell himself that he did. You know, you like to tell your dad in your mind, you know that imaginary conversation young boys have and young women have with their parents? I ain't want you in my life, no way. You want that imaginary conversation? I didn't need you, no way. That's all imaginary, hello. But when actuality happens, you begin to realize that I haven't forgot some things and let some stuff go, because when I'm presented with a situation in my life again, I find I'm crying all the time. I find I get these anger fits that the best decisions I should be making, I'm not making, and I'm justifying my bad decisions. You start justifying it. Well, I ain't gonna send you no card on Mother's Day. How you like me now? Because you ain't really been that much of a mother. Really? Think you might want to check on some letting go. Amen. I think you might want to check on some letting go. Because apparently something you have not forgiven. Amen. Because it's reasonable for you to at least send a card. Eh? Hello? Amen. Amen. All right, I'll just preach myself happy. Amen. So Joseph hadn't let some things go, and now he has worked his way by the favor of God to be the chief in order under Pharaoh. He's in charge of everything Pharaoh has to offer. There's a famine in the land. Guess who's in charge to dish out the food? It is Joseph. His brothers come in and say, we need some food. There's a famine. Foom. There's a famine in our land, and we need some foom. More food. That's what it is. It's more food. We need some more food. We need foom. We're so hungry, we're malnourished, and we can't think straight. Nevertheless, they said, we need some food. Can we have some? And Joseph was like, you lies and spies. I'm going to take your boy. I'm going to put him in my jail. Y'all go back home. Here's some food. And he orchestrates all these plans to get the brothers to come back. He says, if you want some more food, I want to know about this youngest brother you have, Benjamin. You guys remember that from last week. And all of Joseph's actions are really stemming around the retrieval of his brother, Benjamin. You know, because him and Benjamin had the same baby mama, you know, same mama. Everybody else got different mamas, but them two had the same mama, Rachel. Do you understand? And so you know that Joseph was thinking, like we talked last week, that I know y'all been doing my brother wrong like you did me. Because you ain't nothing but lies and spies. So I'm coming down there, and I want my brother back. Bring him back to me, and I'm going to keep working these plans until I can get my brother with me and forget all the rest of y'all. That's pretty much what he did, amen? And so all of a sudden, we ended on last week that Joseph's master plan to get his brother back involved something that was quite strategic. He's going to put a silver cup in Benjamin's bag. And so now they're out on the road after being sent with much food. Joseph was very kind to them, but he snuck and put a silver cup in Benjamin's bag, his youngest brother, the one he wanted, and then he sends his troops after them. You guys remember that. And we talked about how they weren't on horses. You remember that? But they were on camels. And here all of a sudden, you guys remember that from last week? Amen. I'm sure you do. Pastor, you were looking so funny on the camel. Because in my mind, I thought they were on horses. Because in my mind, everything goes fast, you know. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, we got the food. Let's go. Yes. Here come the cops. Listen, y'all got some stuff. You stole some things from the master's house. No, we didn't. We know we didn't. Yes, you did. You know what? We don't steal in this family. Check all our bags, because that's how we live. We live upright. Wait a minute. Benjamin, you've got something in your bag. And so the sons had to go back and confess that they had stole. And we talked on last week how uncomfortable that conversation had to have gone on Benjamin's part. Everybody's got a whole bunch of time because they're not on horses, they're on camels. So everybody's got a lot of time to discuss what really went down. Benjamin, did you steal? No. Yes, you did. No, I did not. Yes, you did. Man, forget y'all. And so they finally arrive. Understand me correctly, right? They get to Joseph's house, and this is where we're picking up today. I know you're thinking, how is this a Mother's Day message? Oh, but can you wait? Amen. Can you make it to the end? Amen. Can you make it to the end? Because I believe there's a Mother's Day message at the end of this. Amen. But I think if I had to give my mother a gift, amen, or your mother a gift, the one gift I would want to give to them is something that will help their kids. I want to give you something that'll help you with your kids, amen, with your children's children. You're like, what? Yes. Today, the Mother's Day message is not about the mother, but it's about her children, amen, to help her children's children make it to the end. Amen? Amen? Amen. So if your mama not here, you'll be like, Mom, I got a great message for me, for you. Happy Mother's Day. And I'm now going to do better. Amen. So we pick up at the story somewhere around Genesis, I believe, chapter 45, verses 1 through 5, and it reads, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him because they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near and said, I am Joseph. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God has sent me before you to preserve life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, before we get to that last verse, of that particular selection, let's kind of paint what's happening. So Joseph, the brothers have arrived, amen, with the silver cup that they don't know if Benjamin stole. Benjamin said he didn't do it, but the brothers said, well, clearly, how did the silver cup get in your bag? I knew you was always a thief, Benjamin. You've been stealing pacifiers since I knew you. You always been stealing, trying to act like you so good you don't steal. We know you. Just touch it up in a minute. I did not steal no cup. Yes, you did. Shut up. We're going to go see Pharaoh. So they go to Joseph's house, and at this point, Judah, who is in charge now, because Reuben was a terrible leader, as we discussed on Wednesday nights, amen. He was not a very good leader, but Judah is now in charge, and so Judah steps up and was like, look, Joseph, look, don't do this, all right? Don't do this. We all are here to say somebody took this cup. We don't know how this cup got in our bag. But we wouldn't steal from you. You was good to us. You'd have sent us back with food. The last time you put money in our bag, we brought that money back to you. Why would we steal from you? Whatever you do, this is what Judah says. He says, please, 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 don't keep Benjamin. Don't keep Benjamin. I promised my dad I would bring him back safely. Whatever you do, don't keep Benjamin. Just take me. Take my life instead. Because you know Judah had promised his dad that Benjamin would be coming back in one piece. Amen. And when Reuben stepped up and was like, if I don't bring him back, Dad, you can give Benjamin to me. And if I don't bring him back, you can kill my two sons. Everybody's like, what? Kill your two sons? Man, you do not understand parenting at all. You know? Bad bad parent. Amen. You're going to give up your baby boys because you messed up. Bad parenting, you know. But Judah, who had already lost two sons, knows that pain of losing a child. And so Judah says, look, Dad, I don't want you to feel this pain of losing two sons. You already lost one, Joseph, because don't worry about that, Dad. We ain't even going to tell you what happened. But listen, we know you already lost one son. Send him with me. He begged and pleaded. His dad said, fine, go ahead. Jacob was his father. Go ahead, take Benjamin, but you're held responsible, Judah. Judah said, not a problem. So now when this all goes down, Judah's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Benjamin, did you do this on purpose? Man, I told you I ain't steal that cup. Yeah, whatever. Oh. And so now he has to get to the house. He's talking to Joseph, who Joseph knows who they are. They don't know who Joseph is. And he's like, look, Joseph, Egyptian man, because you know he probably had the shaved head with a little plait on the side. You understand what I'm saying? They are Hebrews, so they got all this facial hair looking real rough that he's all like eyeliner going down the side of his face and does not look like he's related at all. Amen. And so all of a sudden, Judah talked to Joseph, please, Joseph, man, just keep me. Let him go. Let Benjamin go back with his brothers. I'll stay and be a slave for the rest of my life. And it's at this point that Joseph can't contain himself, because he's realizing now the type of pain the entire family has been. Oh, see, this is enough to break you. He's been trying to whimper a little bit here and cry a little bit behind closed doors and don't want nobody to know. But now all of a sudden he can see on Judah's face, I can't let another bad thing happen to my dad. I can't let our family go through this again. And if I got to lay down my own life, I'm not bringing this to my household one more time. So now he's got all this pain and Joseph is seeing this like, what? And he just says, everybody out, clear out the house. Because at this point, everybody assumed he was Egyptian. So he sends everybody out the house, and he just bawls like a big baby. Oh, my God, I love you. He's crying so loud that Pharaoh's house can't hear him. He is letting it go. Do you understand? He's letting it all hang out. But can I help somebody today? Sometimes that's good. Can I help some strong men in the house? Amen. Sometimes that's good. I would rather you cry your eyes out than go buck somebody in the head. Huh? I would rather you sit there at the altar of God and snot and cry, because now you're tapping into all that stuff you thought you let go of, than hold it all in and then somebody just nick your car a little bit and you shoot them. What? What has happened? That was a fender bender. Life in prison. Fender bender, life in prison. Meekness will allow you to cry when the feelings hit you. And it's not a sign of being a punk. Somebody say amen. It's a sign that I'm going to go ahead and release some of this tension before I release it on your face. So thank you. And imagine what somebody else would think if they really stepped to you the wrong way. You just start busting out crying. Man, what's up? Whoa, dude, that dude is crazy, man. I ain't even gonna mess with him. I was ready to fight. This dude started crying like in an angry way. He cried in an angry way. I don't know. My mama told me don't mess with men that cry in angry ways. Amen. They liable to do something to you. Amen. But what would happen if you let some of that go? Amen. If you stop trying to feel like you got to be Superman all the time and not express anything. Now, bear in mind, I've only seen my father, Minister Hudson, somebody say amen, cry on a couple of occasions, amen. And I'm telling you, it broke my heart. Somebody died. My dad was like, I'm letting it out. I was like, oh, my God, Dad's letting it out. And then I let it out. Then Mommy let it out. We was going to let it out. Let it out. But it's a time for the family to let stuff out together. Somebody say amen. It should be no dry eye in the place. We all just ended up, I love you. I love you too. But what's wrong with showing that you are affected by something in a way that is not so threatening? Because the truth of the matter is, love will allow you to be vulnerable. It allows you to be vulnerable. Why? Because you can, because your God has got your back. So if you really trust God as a man of God, like you say you do, then go ahead and let it out. You're still going to be a big man no matter when you're done. And I'm back. What? What? You the man. You still the man. I ain't never doubted it. Ain't never doubted it. Amen. Okay, let me stop meddling. Go back to the text. So here all of a sudden, Joseph has bawled his eyes out. He tells his brothers, I'm your brother Joseph. And they're like, what? No, seriously, guys, I'm your brother. Can you bring that back a little bit? When you say brother, do you mean like in the familial sense, like we're all our brothers and sisters? No, I'm your brother Joseph. When you say Joseph, what? And so he's like, no, come close, look at my face, ignore the eyeshadow and the black mascara and ignore the haircut. Listen, I'm your brother Joseph. And they hug and they cry and it's like they're shocked. Joseph is like, yes, this has been on my heart. And everybody can identify that so many people have been hurt by one mistake. So many people are carrying that burden. Do you know, remember when Joseph's brothers first showed up? And he was like, no grain for you, no grain for you. Lies and spies. And they was talking, but they didn't know that he knew what kind of language they were speaking in. And they was like, do you believe? I think this is because we did something to Joseph that time. Y'all know we got that secret in the closet. This is happening because what we did, you know. That means that they have been carrying this. Do anybody know what that, do you guys know what that feels like? To carry a wrong you've done to somebody else for so many years. And finally, when you can just get that thing out, you'd be like, oh, thank God. Thank God. It feels so much better now. And we tried to talk about this last week. Sometimes you need to let it go. You need to let it go for somebody else to let it go. Amen. Let them be able to come up and say, I don't think I did this right. I don't think I handled this right at all. So that they can be free, amen? Because if you say you really let it go, then you want them to be free, amen? Because only unforgiveness says, I'm not going to tell you or show you that I really forgave you. Oh, come on, I'm preaching in this house already. Because you're saying to them, I'm going to tell you with my mouth, I forgive you. But my actions won't let you feel that you are forgiven because secretly I still want you to suffer and I don't want you to be smiling like everything is fine all day, every day. No, you need to be like, ain't nothing fine. My whole life is messed up ever since I did that bad thing. And that's when you know you still have unforgiveness and you haven't let it go. We talked about that last week. Because if resentment still rests in your heart, then you have not let it go. You ain't let it go. When they get blessed, you be like, secretly, I wish they would fail. Lord, why are you making them succeed? I think that they should fail. I really do. I think it is just and righteous if you let them fail because of what they did to me. That's called resentment. And it means you haven't let it go. Somebody say amen. So all of a sudden, Joseph makes this very bold statement at the last part of this verse. And this we're going to spin in a couple of ways. He says on the B clause, or probably the D clause of this particular selection, he says, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, somebody say, but now. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Now this is when we finally see that after Joseph stops hiding how much it hurt, after he stops hiding how bad he felt, after he stops hiding all of it and hiding his real identity from his brothers and showing who he shows who he really is. And he puts it right in front of their face. And he tells them, watch this. Don't you worry about what you did to me. God has used it for good. Oh, come on, somebody. That's when you know you let something go. Because you can identify that out of the worst case situation that has caused me pain throughout my entire life, I can now see that that thing has worked out for my good. And don't you anger yourself. He tells them, don't you even be grieved or be angry with yourself because God needed to put that in my life and it has worked out for something that I never thought. As a matter of fact, it's going to bring life to thousands of other people because of one thing, one mistake you made has brought life to a whole nation. And so he says, Let yourself go. No. Let yourself go. To every dad, to every mother. No. Let yourself go. Because there are times, from what I understand about parenting, that you can look at some situations and go, I'm the dumbest parent ever. Like, why did I do that? That was out of anger. That was out of selfishness. I can't believe I did that. And that thing will gnaw away at you, and it'll stay there, and every time you drop little CC on her head, you'll be thinking, that's why she can't say her ABCs right to this day. No, not funny? Okay, all righty. Y'all was like, Pastor, we serious right now. We ain't got time for no jokes. We done let some stuff go. I forgive my mama. I forgive my daddy. But sometimes we have to be able to learn to allow others to let themselves go. Here's the point. Can you forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself of what you didn't do right? Come on, somebody. Parenting is hard. Come on, happy Mother's Day. Parenting is hard, amen? And some of y'all, I don't have any kids, but you understand what I'm saying. Some of us, we started parenting when we were just kids ourselves and gonna hold ourselves to a standard like we really knew what we was doing. I can't believe I did that. Well, you was just a baby yourself. I can't believe I did that. You didn't have no money. I can't believe I did that. You were strung out. I can't let yourself go. Forgive yourself and be grateful. If your child is saved, be grateful that all the things you think you did wrong is being worked out for their good. Oh, I am preaching better than you're acting in this house. You don't want to forgive yourself because you feel like the more I remember it, the better of a parent I can be to my child right now. Because if I feel guilty enough, then that'll propel me and motivate me to do more. But that's not how it works. That's like the fat girl looking in the mirror calling herself fat, expecting to lose weight. You're not motivated by negativity. You're motivated by positivity. And so you can say, I may not have been a good parent at that point, but I'm going to be the best parent you ever had. Why? Because I'm the only parent you ever had. I'm about to be the best parent you ever. Still not funny? Okay. All righty. I'm going to be the best parent now than I've ever been. Amen. Now, I'm not speaking from personal experience because I had two fabulous parents, amen? And I don't know of any mistakes they made. Amen? Amen. But I just pray that if they know of some mistakes they made, come on, somebody, that they have forgiven themselves because it has generated what you see before you. And you should do the same thing for your own parents. I don't care if they wasn't in the house, was in the house, beat you senseless, took all your clothes. I don't care what the tragedy was. You need to let them go so they can forgive themselves. Let them forgive themselves. Let them forgive themselves. Come on. Because you're thinking, if I don't mean to hold on to it, but I'm kind of glad that things ain't working out in their lives. Let them go. I don't mean hold on to it, but I tell you what, I ain't going to let nobody else do that to me. Let them go. I do forgive them, but I can tell you what, ain't nobody going to be that close to me. Let them go. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to let them go so they can forgive themselves. Because everything that happened to you, God promises, I will work all things for your good because you love me and you are called according to my purpose. That means every tragic situation, that's why I'm telling you, if you got some family hurts, you need to be saved and you need to find out what your calling is. Because this means that all of a sudden, that thing that hurt you so bad, God will take that thing, rework it, and use it for your good. I got testimonies upon testimonies. I was speaking to Sister Gabrielle the other day. And she asked me about a testimony I had when I was raped. And she said, I don't know how to ask you this, Pastor. But I'm just curious. Did you have to see the rapist all the time? I said, pretty much. She was like, what? I was like, mm-hmm. He got real successful. Made an NFL pro. In the NFL league. Face all over the TV. Had the draft. I was like, But you have to learn to let some things go. Somebody say amen. Because that thing has worked for my good now. And when I speak to another person that's been raped, come on, somebody, I got some testimonies that can be anointed. And I can tell you, baby, people can look at you one day and not even see that that ever happened to you. And what you say will heal their broken heart. We talked about some other testimonies, too many of you. And she said, I never knew. I said, because I don't walk around going, hey, by the grace of God, I made it through. And every time I get a chance, I'd be like, let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you how it hurt. Let me tell you why my mama and my daddy. Come on, some. Because when you're called to his purpose, then those things work for your good. And they become a testimony, not of being a victim, but of the glory of who God is. I know you try. You don't like to hear that word. You like to think, I would never let my test. No, I'm not glad it happened. I'm just okay with it. Well, I'm kind of glad mine happened, amen? Because I'd rather suffer through that and watch thousands of lives changed than suffer through nothing and can't help the next person. Now, for the mothers and the fathers, my mom's looking at me like, no, baby, we didn't want that to happen to you. I will never say. We don't want to see bad things happen to the people. To the people that we love. Somebody say amen. But if bad stuff is going to happen anyway, I'd rather that it happened and it produced life to somebody than it happened and no good could ever come out of it. I'd rather that if it's going to happen, let some good come from it. Let somebody be healed. Let somebody's life be changed. Let somebody else be picked up. Let depression be broken off. Let oppression be broken. Let promiscuity be broken. Let masturbation be broken. Come on, let something good come out of it. I'd rather something good come from it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And who am I to say that I am better than Jesus, who had to suffer all types of pains and atrocities, afflictions and humiliations, and he did nothing wrong. And here with my little cute self think I get to have a life that has no problems in it? That I'm greater, somehow greater than him? The Bible says if you're going to reign with me, you're going to what? Suffer with me. So anyway, let me get back to the text. So all of a sudden, Joseph had to let his parents and his brothers be forgiven. Somebody say amen. And it was because of this act of forgiveness. And watch this. When he started crying out loud, chapter 50 of the same story goes into the idea that when Pharaoh heard this and all the house heard this, that Pharaoh called Joseph to himself and said, I heard your family was in town. He was like, yes, they here. These are your brothers? Yes. Here go five of them. See, these are my brothers. And because he was able to let it go and show some emotion, come on somebody, and show how he was really affected by the situation and let it go, Pharaoh sent carts and carriages and horses and food. And not only that, he said, go get your father, go get your brothers, go get their wives, put them in the choices of carts, because you know they got old. You understand what I'm saying? Carry them here. Bring some food for the journey. Here's some animals. All of a sudden, because he was willing to let it go and be who he is and choose to let them be forgiven, the houses and the storehouses were open, and the wealth of the wicked was right back into his lap, and his family and his children's children and his brothers and his sisters were provided for when everybody else is dying of famine. And not only that, but they bring the whole family to Egypt. And Joseph tells him, he said, listen, I'm going to give you the choices of land. Whatever land you want. You need a job? Here go a job. Oh, I'm preaching. You want to find out why it's been so hard for you to get a job, sir? Come on. I'm preaching. You want to know why it's so hard to get a job? Because you haven't forgiven yourself and you won't let somebody else be forgiven. So now every time you go to a job interview, you look desperate. Because you feel like on the inside you got to make something happen by yourself. But when I know I serve a God that's waiting on an opportunity to bless me, I walk in that interview going, it'll be who you to hire me. I would be the blessing to your life. Do you not know the story of Joseph? Everywhere he went, people was blessed. Potiphar was like, I think I'm blessed because of you. Yes, you are, sir. Yes, you are. One act of letting it go could provide for your whole family. One act to the sons of the mothers who blame their moms for why stuff ain't go right and why the daddy left. One act of letting it go could provide for the whole family. One act of just saying, you know what, mom, I forgive you. Dad, I forgive you. Whoever you are, this is not just to the sons, but it helps the sons because they're the ones that have to go out of the city gates and find something. And they're the ones that have to be the conquerors and more than conquerors. And the women, we be doing it, but we get to do it undercover, you know. You want to buy some yarn? Okay. Banking that millionaire. Thank you. You know, we do it in a covert way that most people don't even recognize. But men have to do it boldly. It's my land. I'm here. It's mine, amen. Nevertheless, that one act has opened up a million blessings to that family, preserved that whole family at a time when other families were dying. And Joseph had an opportunity to really let it go in a way that the whole family could let it go. By the time you get to chapter 50, chapter 49, chapter 48, you find that Joseph dies. First, Jacob dies. Somebody say amen. And after he let it go, you know, everybody's living in Egypt, and it looks like it's going pretty good. But then Jacob dies, and his brothers in chapter 50 get scared because they're thinking, uh-oh, Dad done died. Maybe he was just letting it go temporarily. Maybe his forgiveness had some conditions. Oh, can I help somebody in this house? You have to be careful that when you let something go, that you don't let it go with a condition. Oh, I'm preaching to the choir, apparently. Maybe you guys already know this. Because sometimes we will inadvertently put some conditions on our forgiveness. You know what? I forgive you because you did not know what you were doing. That's what Jesus said, but you ain't him. I forgive you because you're stupid. Well, what happens when they ain't stupid no more? I forgive you because you was broke, but what happens when they ain't broke no more? I forgive you because you was by yourself, but what happens when they ain't by themselves no more? I forgive you because we wasn't married, but what happens when he actually marries? I forgive. Oh, come on, somebody. You've got to be careful that your forgiveness does not have a condition to it, because when that condition is removed, you still have to have the same testimony you had before the condition left. Oh, I forgive you because you still married. I forgive you because you ain't divorced. I forgive you. No, no, no. You need to forgive, period. So the sons and the brothers was upset because they're like, oh, man, Jacob done died. It's over, y'all. I think he was the only reason. And Joseph had to reassure them that even though Daddy died, I'm still going to treat you right. And you can still have whatever is mine is yours. And he still provided for them even after their dad was already gone. So here we find that once Jacob died, Jacob's body was buried in a place called Shechem. Somebody say amen. It was a tomb that Abraham was buried in. Sarah was buried in this tomb. Isaac was buried in this tomb. Rebecca, you guys remember her, was buried in this tomb. And Leah was buried in this tomb. Interesting. You know who Leah is. That's Joseph's other baby's mama's brother's mama. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was Leah and Rachel that his daddy married. You remember the story. And Leah was the tender-eyed, not so cute one, I guess they say. And Rebecca was the one he really wanted. And he was bamboozled. Do you remember that? Now, Leah had most of the brothers. You understand? 10 out of the 12. You understand? Well, she's her maidservant had some children too. Nonetheless, they was having babies, okay? And out of the actual sons, Rachel, only had two, and that was Joseph and Benjamin, yes? Now, the story goes that when Jacob dies, he tells them, listen, I'm gonna die here, and what I want you to do is I want you to make sure that when y'all leave Egypt, you take my bones with you. And I want you to put my bones and bury me in the same tomb that my father's father's father was buried in. Because we got some land over there. And I want to make sure that when I die, you take me out of here. They said, not a problem. Now, when Joseph dies, and later in that same chapter, Joseph dies and he makes the same promise. Listen, all these, because Egypt loved Joseph. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they embalmed him like Egyptians do, and they cut off all his hair, and they made sure he had a huge tomb and all this beautiful stuff, right? And he said, listen, y'all, sons, brothers, before I die, listen, grandchildren and great-grands, because he saw about three generations, listen, I'm about to die. These Egyptians are going to have this huge Egyptian ceremony for me. When it's over and y'all leave this place, take me up out of here. Don't you let my bones stay here. And he was like, sure, Dad, not a problem. Sure, great-granddad, not a problem. And so they had all the festivities and embalmed him. and put him in a sarcophagus. And he probably had the thing and the Mut Mahut, you know, all that kind of stuff was happening. And then all of a sudden, generations began to pass. And it wasn't until Moses said to the children of Israel, it's time for us to go, Pharaoh, which is a new Pharaoh, let my people go. And they were leaving. Did they actually go get Joseph's dead bones and carry them? This was so important to them that the bones don't die in Egypt, but that the bones get placed in a tomb in the promised land. What? Because apparently to Jewish law, which is a foreshadow of a spiritual law, that wherever the bones are buried, that is a seed that can claim that land. Preach the text. Where your body is buried is a seed. That's why 1 Corinthians says that your body is sown a corruptible seed, but raised an incorruptible seed. Come on, somebody. Wherever your bones is buried, they was like, if you put my bones here, then we could claim all this land is ours. So they said, oh, that's a good idea. So whenever you die, don't you die. We don't want Egypt. We want the promised land of Canaan. Put my bones back in our land. Now, this is an interesting twist of events as we come to a close, because this means that all of a sudden, Rachel is not in that list. Rachel, her body wasn't buried among the other matriarchs and patriarchs. Oh, no, it was not. I think, as a matter of fact, somewhere around Genesis chapter 29 or 39, actually it's Genesis chapter 35 and chapter 48, it echoes the same story that when Rachel died, she died giving birth. What? What? See, when Rachel died, she had already had Joseph, right? Her and Joseph was tight like thieves. You remember when Esau, Jacob's brother, Joseph's dad, was coming to get Jacob for being a liar? He thought, Esau is coming to beat my tail because I stole his birthright. Do y'all remember this story? Uh-huh. And so Rachel and Joseph were together when his father sent the rest of the brothers ahead. If he gonna kill the rest of the brothers, kill them, but don't kill, you know, I really love her. This is my favorite, you know. Don't kill these two. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so they remain. Joseph and Rachel have been ace boost coon. That's that mother-son relationship that extends through some years. Do you understand what I'm saying? When stuff go down and the other brothers is tripping, they be like, ain't they a mess? They a hot mess. They are a mess. I don't even know what they're thinking. Look at Simeon and Levi killing folk. Tell them to get circumcised and then slice them all up. They know they in pain all because they raped their sister. I know they some crazy people. Them some crazy brothers right there. Because y'all don't know the stories. Y'all need to read the stories, amen? Read the Bible, amen? So now Joseph and Rachel were tight like thieves, right? And so by the time Joseph enters the scene and he begins to have those dreams, he's about 17 years old. Do you remember the dream that started Joseph's journey down to the pits and down into slavery? Because he believed he had a dream that God was going to use him and his whole family was going to bow down to him. Y'all remember that dream? That's the dream that made his brothers hate on him in the beginning. You understand? But at that point, Joseph identified that there were 11 stars and 11 barrels. This means that at that particular juncture, that Rachel, his mama, was already pregnant with Benjamin. Wait, what? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me she's over there pregnant with his baby brother and his other brother sell him into slavery and he never gets a chance to see his baby brother that his mother's been telling him? Wait a minute. Wait. When Joseph was born, his mother named him something. His mother gave him the name Joseph that meant, my Lord will give me another son. Wait. When your mama had you, she saw something in you that you needed to know for the rest of your life. She said, listen, forever you're going to know this, that you're going to have a brother, and your path and his path will forever be connected. So I don't want you to forget this, that I'm telling you now, I'm going to have another son. Year goes by. Joseph is 2, 3, 14, 15, 16. Mama, you getting older. I don't see no brother. But sometimes around age 17, he realizes the very brother I've been waiting on, you just had. You're pregnant with him right now. And then they take me off to slavery. And so while he's in slavery, his mother dies. His mother dies birthing Benjamin. What? Now, this is where we begin to understand the purpose and love of a mother, because she foresaw and anticipated a need that Joseph would have. Baby, you're going to have a brother, and I'm going to make sure you are going to forever remember that you and your brother are like this. I don't know what these other brothers are doing. They're crazy. But you and your brother, y'all going to be like this. And whatever happens, know that I told you you were going to have a brother, and I named you because of that. Now, this not only gives him an identity that I am my brother's keeper. Oh, come on, somebody. But it also tells him what faith looks like. Because his mother named him something that she couldn't even prove that she knew God wanted for the rest of his life. And she saw it before anybody ever could identify that it would happen. And he had to live his mother's faith. That's a good mom. So on the way from Bethel, as the story goes, his mother began to have birth. He's already gone into slavery. And she begins to give birth. And they were supposed to be headed to a very lovely place called? It wasn't Shechem, but it was Ephrath. They were headed to Ephrath, which is similar to Bethlehem. Somebody say amen. Amen. They were headed to Ephrath. Now, the interesting thing here is that they were just a few feet from Ephrath, which is where we know of Bethlehem. Somebody say amen. So this means that while she's giving birth, she was on her way to Ephrath, also known as what? Bethlehem. As what? Where was Jesus born? Wait a minute. This woman was on her way to Bethlehem, and she decided right before then she had to have this child that would not wait, on her way to Bethlehem where the Savior would be born. And it's in that birthing process that she dies. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible tells us there is now no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life. And the last time I checked, when you have a baby, that's the closest any human being can be to death without dying. And this woman sat right there and said, even if I die, I'm going to get this baby out, because I heard a promise from God 17 years ago. My God. My God. 17 years ago, I heard a promise from God, and I'm going to sit right here. And if it takes everything I got, including my life, I will die birthing out this. And she sat there and died, giving birth to a promise on its way to Bethlehem, where the Savior was to be born. And not just that, but Ephrath, the name of the city as it was in that time, was called a fruitful place. Oh, preach the text, somebody. So many times parents and mothers are thinking that I was on my way to get that degree. I was on my way to get that job. I was almost married. Come on. I was on my way to a fruitful place. Then all of a sudden I had a child. All of a sudden, I had this child, and life began to take over, and things began to come on, somebody. And if you're not careful, you'll think that your life died right before Ephrath. But what you were really doing was planting a seed. That means that your children can come and claim that land that your body is now buried in. Now your children can claim the land of a fruitful place. Come on, somebody. Now your children's children can claim the land of the risen Savior. Come on, somebody. Because you decided to put it past your own selfishness and give birth to a child, even if it took the rest of your life. Standing all over this house. Amen. Come on, somebody say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in this house. We have a heart full of gratitude and gratefulness. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, stretch it out and then give him some praise. Amen. Amen. And give him some praise. Yes. Huh? Come on. Come on, give him some praise. For every mother that thinks your life stopped when you had kids, all you really did was put them in a place to walk and claim a fruitfulness. Come on, somebody. To those of you mothers that have died in Christ, this means that your children will have to be saved, because your bones are already buried where? In Christ. Your children's children get to be saved, because your bones are buried. You died in Christ. Now they get to claim the kingdom of God as their own. Somebody say Happy Mother's Day. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for this time of worship. We thank you, God, for understanding that we don't know love unless we know mothers. Hallelujah. that even though we know that you are both a spirit, God, you bear properties of both male and female. In the kingdom of God, that you are the birthing place of every saint and every soul. Hallelujah. That Jesus, you died as the one-time seed planted for our redemption. Hallelujah. And rose again, giving us all life. Father, we thank you for our mothers and our fathers. Come on, lift your hands in this house. Hallelujah. If you feel like I haven't let some things go, today is your day. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. You need to let your parents go. Come on, somebody. All of us have a parent. Come on now. And today is your chance to let some things go. This means you're not going to tell another sad story about what your mom did to you or what your dad did to you. But the next time you tell it, you're going to tell it with the look what God has done situation. Come on in, then let them go. Let them go. Let them go. They didn't raise you right. If they didn't raise you, if they weren't in your life, it's today is your day to forgive them. Hallelujah. And let them forgive themselves. Why? So that your children's children might be blessed. Provision might come to your household. Today is that day. Hallelujah. So right now, Father, we lift our hands and hearts before you. We say to you, God, we forgive every mother, every father, every stepdad, every stepmom, every auntie, every uncle, every cousin, every grandmother that raised us, whoever it was, we forgive. Come on, somebody. I forgive you now in the name of Jesus, and I release you to forgive yourself. Come on, open your mouth and say it to God. I forgive you, and I release you to forgive yourself. I forgive you, and I release you to forgive yourself. I forgive you, and I release you to forgive yourself. I forgive my dad. Come on, come on, tell somebody. And I release you to forgive yourself, daddy. I will forgive my mom, and I release you to forgive yourself, mommy. I forgive my grandmother, and I release you to forgive yourself, grandma, granddad, uncle, auntie. Forgive yourself. Come on, let it go in the name of Jesus. Come on, let it go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for working it for my good. Come on, now you need to open your mouth and tell him, I thank you for working it for my good. I declare now that I am called to your purpose, hallelujah, and that I love you. Now work that thing for my good, hallelujah, that life can come from this. Life can come. I claim a seed of life out of this in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we give you glory and honor. We thank you in this place. We ask that you continue to move through us freely. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Every saint that agreed, come on and say amen.